I don't know about you, but during holiday breaks, I usually try to carve out some time to read a book because I usually have just a little bit more time. I've taken some time off of work. So I've been reading this book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved by Kate Bowler. I've been reading it for the past couple weeks. Well, truth be told, a couple days. Actually, I read in about 3 hours because I'm a really fast reader. Consequently, if you were a kid of the 90s and you did the Book It Club by Pizza Hut, I dominated that club. I can tell you, I probably had way too many personal pan pizzas. But anyway, Kate wrote this book after being diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Now, that's not a spoiler alert. You know that from the get-go. And she realizes just how empty some of the prevailing promises of American Christianity truly are. Her background is studying the prosperity gospel. But it's a fantastic book, and I highly recommend it. And in this book, she makes the point that sometimes all we have is just a glimmer of hope, just a small view of what could be, of what our greatest hopes, that they may not be fully realized, but we have to keep moving forward. See, I can't imagine what it must be like to have such little certainty to hold on to still find the will to show up and continue to teach at Duke University, which she does, to do a podcast, to be interviewed, to speak, to do so much. She shares that part of what keeps her moving is that life is hard and yet beautiful, and that it's so much bigger than whatever moment we're facing at the time. And so today, I want to look at the story of a man who holds on to a small glimmer of hope as well, who sees life bigger than we can see at times, and who guides us to deeper, richer faith. His name is Simeon. Now, before we get into the scripture today, I want to set the scene of what happened just before. So obviously, we just celebrated Christmas, and we're very much still celebrating Christmas. I think Chris would kill me if I said, well, Christmas is over, because it is not. Keep that tree up. But so we know the story. So an angel appeared to a young girl named Mary who said, and the angel said, you're going to have a child. And she says, yes. And the man she's engaged to, Joseph, has a dream where he gets the news as well and is told to name this child Jesus. They journey to Bethlehem because there's a census. And while they are there, the baby is born, Jesus. And after a while, we know shepherds show up because angels appeared in the sky and told them the news. And then sometime after that, the magi or wise men or kings show up as well. So a lot has happened. And now it is 40 days about after this happened that we are going to pick up with the scripture today. And we'll be looking at Luke 2, starting in verse 21 through 35. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Then when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, before we get into Simeon, I want to address a few important facts, things that you can impress people at your next Bible trivia competition. So the beginning of this story is important. It's significant because it's telling about the ritual, the following of Levitical law. We can't forget how devout Mary and Joseph were. Again, it should be no surprise that God found favor with Mary. When we first meet Joseph, he's described as righteous. So these two people were very committed to following the law, doing everything right. So of course they were going to circumcise their male because that's what Jewish males did. You did that on the eighth day. And it was this mark into the covenant community. And the naming of the child that happens at this time is really significant as well. All parents know when you get to tell people the name of your child, that's an incredible moment. Now, while Joseph didn't pick the name Jesus, he still got to proclaim that this is Jesus. And then we move into the story of bringing Jesus to the temple to be presented. Now, Mary had to wait 40 days before she could come to the temple because she would have been unclean until then. Technically, she was unclean for 7 days, and then the purification process that they talk about is actually 33 days long. But don't worry, in case you were wondering, if a woman has a female child, she's unclean for 14 days and then has to wait for 66 days, so double the time. So that's a little fact. We'll just get a blow past that, but these are the kinds of things I Google on Saturday night because pastors are super cool and do really fun things on the weekend. But the next thing we see is Mary and Joseph had to bring an offering. And according to Levitical law, this is from Leviticus 12, that a lamb was a proper offering. But if a person or persons could not afford that, they could do two turtle doves or two pigeons. Though minor, it's an important point to make again to show that Mary and Joseph were not high ranking. They weren't important. They weren't rich. That Jesus was born into a common family. God came to dwell within a common family. So I tell you all this is because I think it really is a good reminder that Christ came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. Okay, so now Simeon. So we're introduced to Simeon, and he's this very devout and righteous man. The same words kind of used for Joseph and also for Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were the parents of John the Baptist. Now, I know we're reading about all these devout and righteous people, and so you think, well, I guess just everyone had that title. But no one, it was still very, very rare. It wasn't a very common thing. So again, we've got Simeon, we've got Mary, we've got Joseph, these people that follow the law, that are very committed to God. So we find Simeon in the temple because the Holy Spirit had led him that day. That's what Scripture says. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It set him apart. And he had confirmation that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Now, when we read in verse 29, when Simeon says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace," I would assume that Simeon most likely is an old man. Now, we don't know the exact age, but it seems obvious that he probably would be. The story of Anna that happens right after what we read today, she's 84, so we kind of automatically assume they must have been around the same age. So if you're paying attention, which hopefully you are, Simeon had to wait until he was a very old man to see the Messiah. So was his life a waste? I don't think so. See, what do you think Simeon had been doing up until this point? Clearly, if he was looking and listening for the Holy Spirit and it led him to the temple, that we have to imagine his whole life was oriented around being in tune with God and ready for whenever the Messiah came. Now, when I read Paul's letters and he talks about praying without ceasing and always being ready to proclaim the gospel and using every opportunity to tell others about Christ, Simeon seemed to be living this life. Even though Messiah had not come yet, Simeon must have been one that was telling people all the time, keep your eyes on God. Remain faithful. Don't give up. Be patient. I have to imagine that Simeon was one that people looked up to. Then again, others probably thought that maybe he was a fool for having such faith. I think Simeon most likely was a rock for the community. When people were feeling low, he was there to speak of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and that God was still acting and moving in the world. That's no easy job to have. Not many can be like Simeon. I know for me, that can be hard to be like a Simeon, even though I know that Christ has come already and Christ was victorious and gives us eternal life. It still can be so hard to keep our eyes looking up. So the first thing I think we learn from Simeon is that our whole lives, we can proclaim the good news even without seeing everything. See, Simeon did not see until the end of his life. He didn't see the literal Messiah until he almost died, but yet he always knew the Messiah was someone real. And maybe we're like that too. We haven't seen Jesus face to face, but we sense it. We feel it. See, Simeon probably couldn't necessarily explain it, but it was so real to him. As we profess the faith and hope and joy and peace and love of God, some may also think that we are fools. But I also trust that many may be comforted, inspired, and blessed by this Simeon style of public witness. Simeon, no doubt, was probably faithful his whole life. He anchored himself in the good news, even in times of no revelation, of no real tangible evidence, when he had only just a glimpse of God. I surely hope we see the evidence of Christ in the world around us. We just celebrated Christ coming to us 2 days ago. But I'm no fool. I know that sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard to proclaim when we don't see. But again, just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of God can transform our whole outlook and our whole lives. One reason I think Simeon had this outlook, this perspective, is because he did have the ability to see the full story. I love that he blesses Mary and Joseph. It's such a short line in the scripture. And we also know that he pulls Mary aside and seems to give some sort of prophecy, which is actually a combination of the stone passages from Isaiah 8 and 28, as well as Psalm 118. But the focus of him blessing the parents, again, we don't know what Simeon says, but I love what it teaches me about Simeon. I love that Simeon knows all the people that came before to make this story happen. Again, he didn't know Mary and Joseph before this meeting, but he knew the scriptures, he knew the stories of his ancestors, and because of that knowledge, because of those beliefs, he saw the bigger story. He knew what was going on. He could somehow sense how it all come together because he was familiar with the whole story of God. The reason I bring this up is that many people only know the story of Christmas and Easter. Now, don't get me wrong, those are pretty fantastic days. It's kind of the foundation of what we believe and celebrate. But there's so much that comes before these stories and so much that comes after these stories. And when we limit ourselves to only knowing Christmas and Easter, I think we miss out knowing more about who God is, what God has done and is doing when we just limit ourselves to these two stories. Following God means following more than the star, more than worshiping at the manger, and more than standing outside the empty tomb, in my opinion. In other words, a fuller faith sees the fullness of the story. I know that we don't always get to worship God when things are good, when things make sense, when things are easy, but I think we have to worship God more than the good times. We have to worship God more than the 2 days of Christmas and Easter. Again, we don't know much about Simeon. We only know a snippet. But I imagine his life wasn't always full of birthday cakes and rainbows and unicorns. But what I know from his story, what I seem to glean from this passage, is that all the stories, all the things that he knew before, is what led him to the temple this day. He had been prepared because of his devotion to God for his whole life. And we too are called to that life. Now again, some of you may think that Simeon had an unfair life because he didn't get to see Jesus grow. He didn't get to see Jesus' miracles or hear his teaching or see him be resurrected. But I bet Simeon said, man, my life was not a waste, not one bit. It was still full. I think the reason we think, gosh, what an unfair situation, is because I think we have convinced ourselves that we need a reward, a gift, to see the final product, to see how it all ends, when a life of following God is not about that. We don't worship God because we want something out of it. We worship God, we love God because God first loved us, because God is simply worth worshiping. So much of our work as Christ followers will never be fully realized in our lifetime. It won't have the full impact until we are dust. Our great-great-grandchildren will not see some of the issues or some of the work that we do. They won't see it solved. So does that mean we throw up our hand to say, well, it's not worth it then? Do we choose to do nothing instead of something? I think the reason so much is stagnant, or the reason that some things haven't fully changed, is because so many of us say, well, if I don't get to see how it all works out, if I don't get some thank you or some reward or some gift, then it's not worth it. I think we need to probably repent of the demand for immediate gratification. The truth is, my friends, we see glimpses of hope every day. We get reminders that God is at work in the world, that Jesus still lives, that goodness will prevail, that love wins, that justice is happening. We have just convinced ourselves that it isn't enough. I know maybe a few of us just had the experience of our kids not being super grateful on Christmas. Rather than seeing all that they got, all they could see was what they didn't get. They looked at everything and said, well, it's not enough. I think we're very much like kids on Christmas Day that say, I didn't get everything. Now, this may be where you say, but Reagan, Simeon got the one thing that he wanted. He got to see the Messiah. And you're right, he did. However, I think about in verse 25 when Simeon says he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, the deliverance of Israel. But did this baby, only about 40 days old, deliver Israel? Was a mission fully accomplished? Did Israel rise and fall in those 40 days? So did Simeon get to see everything? Did he get all that he wanted? Not really, but he got a glimpse. We often don't get to see the full resolution. We don't get to see how everything plays out or comes together. We may only get just a glimpse of all the hope and good in the world. But could that be enough? Could a glimpse of hope be enough? Do you think that when Simeon held the Christ child, do you think he said, man, this is not enough? Or do you think he said, God, thank you for even giving me a glimpse of the Messiah? What would our lives look like if we had that mindset? I do believe even in the midst of suffering, pain, trials, grief, there are such incredible moments of hope and joy. We get glimpses of God's goodness all the time. It's just often we're not paying attention. As we head into a new year, I hope you can turn back, even in a year like 2020, and see, man, there was hope. There was joy. There was love. There was goodness. God was there. And I pray as you head into 2021, that you would say, man, even if I just get a glimpse of Christ, that will be enough. Amen.